Well, good morning, everyone. It seems strange to be standing here and not sitting over there today, but that's okay. I'm excited to be standing here today and sharing with you on this parable that I'm going to be reading in just a few moments. And actually, what we want to do is start out by reading that. So if you want to take out your Bibles and turn to the 25th chapter of Matthew, starting with verse 14. And I'll read that. It says, "And again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another one talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Before I start, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear God, we do come before you now, and I thank you for this opportunity to share on this passage. I pray that you would just bless this time. Open our eyes, help us to hear what you have to say, and help us to learn what you want us to learn. Pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of months ago, when Pastor Murray had told us he was leaving, and I was asked to be a part of the preaching rotation until we had a new pastor, I said yes, I would do that. But in the back of my mind, I was worried about what I might have to talk about. Some passage and topics I think would be harder to speak on than others. And I think it was Jonathan who suggested that we talk about the parables. And I like that idea because there's a lot of good parables out there, a lot of stories that have a good, not only a good story, but there's a lot of good messages in them. So I was relieved to hear that we were talking on the parables. So when I looked over the list of parables that we could choose from, I just felt called to pick the parable of the talents. So what is a parable? Well, I looked it up, a definition of that, and it said a brief, succinct story that illustrates a moral or religious lesson. It differs from a fable, because I thought, what's a fable? You hear Aesop's fables, right? And they have stories, morals to them as well. But it said, a fable uses animals, plants, inanimate objects, and forces of nature as characters, while parables features human characters. So they're similar, but not exactly. The word parable also brings back some very strong memories for me as a child, especially of our children's church. We used to have this program called Parables of Nature. So maybe they were actually fables, but it was called Parables of Nature. And I have a question. I'm going to show you something. And for those, and only the people that are less than 25 years old get a chance to respond to this. Okay, if you're older than 25 years, you don't get to. So I want to know if anyone knows under 25 years old, what is this thing? Someone said a slide projector. Close. Anyone know what this is? This goes with it. It's film. It's called a film strip, okay? This is my version of DVD back in the day, as they say, right? We used these. Our church had these. They bought some series, and it was called Parables of Nature. And we used these in our children's church for years. And every one of them started out with this really cheesy sounding organ, really tremolo, like that. And then this lady's voice would come over, and I'm trying to remember how it was. Parables of Nature. What is a parable? It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And, you know, so there was all these parables, and one of them was called School Days in the Ocean. And it was about a teacher, Miss Tuna. And she gave out, it was summertime, it was the beginning of the summer vacation, she gave out a pearl to three of her fish in her class, and two of them, you know, took it and used it to buy some things and made more money, and at the end of summer had a lot to show for it. And then there was one who was the sluggard, and he buried it in the bottom of the ocean, and when school started back up, he had nothing but the one pearl to show her. So does it sound familiar at all? Sound similar to something? Right. But it's just, anyways, as I was preparing for the message today, just really, I mean, these things have stuck with me for years. And so I hope what I share today about this parable will also stick with you. Maybe not for as many years, but at least beyond today. And since we already had children's message today, we're not going to watch the film strip, but sorry about that. before I get started talking about this parable, I want to just give a little context for what comes before this. And there's a parable right before this, and that is about the parable of the 10 virgins and how they're waiting for the bridegroom. And in that parable, God challenged us to be watching because Jesus is coming. And in this parable, where the focus is on what we're doing while we're waiting, we shouldn't just be waiting, but we should be working for him. And so that's kind of the, you know, setup for the parable. And today what I want to focus on are three aspects of this parable, and I call them the triple A's, and hence the title of my sermon, Rated Triple A. You know, I had to come up with some catchy title, right? So. And the three A's. First one stands for ability, the second one stands for action, and the third one stands for accountability. So, all right. So in this parable, I think, you know, just give you a quick overview. I think the master in this story, you know, since it kind of stands for something else, the master stands or represents Jesus. You know, he's left us, and he's going to be returning again one day. We are the servants in this parable, and the talents that are talked about here represent the things we have, our resources, our abilities, our opportunities to serve the Lord. When we read this parable, we see that the three servants each received talents from the master. As it says in verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. So the first point to remember is each one of us has received talents from the master. Everyone has been given some kind of gift. So it's not like you can say, I don't have any talent or I don't have any gift. Everyone has something. The second thing about the gift is what it is. The word talent, as it's used in the parable, specifically refers to money in this situation. The talents the master gives to the servants are a trust. He says, you know, he's entrusted them to them. So it's not like, you know, they just get to keep them, but he's expecting them back when he returns. And that's what Jesus is getting at in this parable. God gives us talents in various forms, and he wants us to use them in a wise way to be fruitful and multiply them for his kingdom and for his glory. So, as I said, the word talent, used as it's used here, is actually a measure of money. If there's one thing that is good, and a good indication of our faith, I think it's the way that we use the resources, the money that we have. You know, in this parable, the first two servants took the money, and as they said, by the time the master came back, they had doubled the money that he had given them. They obviously wanted to show their master that they could use the money wisely and give back much more to him, you know, than he had given them originally. And that's, I think, a great example for us to follow. You know, however, I think for many, personal desires and the idea of getting things takes priority over, you know, using that for God. Unfortunately, I think that, you know, says something about how much people value the work of God. When we have to have the latest thing or, you know, gadget or home improvement before we give to the Lord, then we're not using what God has given us wisely. So, you know, I think that's an important aspect of this, that, you know, what he has given us, we should use not only our talents as we think about abilities, but our resources as well. But the word talent can be understood to mean more, something broader than just money. In fact, when I looked up talent in the dictionary, the current definition that we think of, you know, our abilities or the gifts we have, whatever like that, it was just actually derived from the Greek word for talent because of this parable. So I thought that was interesting. If God has given us a talent, some kind of special ability, then we should use that for him. If he's given us a spiritual gift, we must use that for his kingdom as well. And, you know, I probably shouldn't say if, because, as I said, he has given us. We've all been given gifts. We've all been given talents. Okay, so when you read this passage, I think a natural reaction might be, okay, well, the master gave five talents to the one servant, two to the other, and one to the third one. So, you know, he must have not liked that third servant quite as much, right? He only gave him one talent. So in preparing for this message today, you know, I've been looking online at different things, and where they talked about what a talent is, I thought that was interesting. A talent, even one talent, is pretty substantial, because it said a talent was the largest unit of Greek money there was, and one talent was equal to 10,000 denarii. So if you had one talent, you could turn it in and get 10,000 denarii at the bank, right? Well, denarius, one denarii, or one of denaries, whatever, was about one day's labor for a typical laborer, it said. So if you were given a talent that was 10,000 days worth of work, you know, that's like, I mean, if you worked every day, you're talking 25, 30 years of wages, right? I mean, so we're not talking even one talent. I mean, I think it's easy to go 5-2-1, oh, one, you didn't get very much. But even one was a lot. So each of the servants got a different amount, but they each received, you know, something substantial from the master. And I find it interesting that the parable says in that verse as well that the master provided the gifts he determined they could handle according to their ability. So, you know, we, as I said, we've all been given gifts, and the key is not to focus on how many talents or gifts we received, right? Because God has already determined what's best for us, and he's given us what he thinks is right for us. But we should be focused on how faithful we are with those talents that we have, and using them to bless not only or bring praise to God, but to bring blessings to others, and in return receive those blessings to ourselves as well. All right, so let's move on from the first A, the action, to the second A, the ability. And I'm going to include another A with that, their attitude, okay? But rated quadruple A didn't sound as good, so. But their action or their ability. The first two servants respond to the master in the same way as we see. They accept what he gives them, and they don't do any comparing, and there doesn't seem to be any jealousy. Like, how did he get two? How do you know? Or how come he got five and I only got two? There's simply an acknowledgement from the master of the master's gift to them, and it's followed by those servants putting the talents to work and trying to grow them for the master. It says, the man who received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gave five more. So also the one with the two talents gained two more. So you can all, you know, almost sense the eagerness these servants had. So they went at once, right? It wasn't like they sat there for a while. I mean, it says they went at once. And they put the money to work. The first two servants are excited to have been trusted with this gift from the master. And they don't waste time. They throw themselves into using what God has given them. The master has given them. Their attitude was one of wanting to please their master and persevere even when they didn't know when he was coming back. The master didn't say, you know, I'll be back in 2 months here. He just said, you know, I'm going off. I'm giving this gift to you. You know, I think the presumption was he's coming back. But, you know, it could be in a week. It could be two years. I don't know. But they persevered. And even when he wasn't around, you know, I think in our lives it's hard sometimes to keep going when we don't know, or when we know we're going to be called to account someday, but you know it seems so far off in the future that we can kind of coast for a while, right? But that's not the way God wants us to be using the gifts He's given us. He wants us to be faithful now, and He wants us to be using those, you know, whenever we can. It says in 12, chapter 12, verse 7, when Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, he says, now to each one the manifestation is given for the common good. So they're to be used, and they're to be used to help each other. Whatever talents God has given us, He's looking for us to respond with joy and eagerness. He wants us to use them in His service to other people and for Him. And what happens when we do? I think, you know, based on personal experience, there's a joy and a satisfaction that comes from knowing we're doing what God wants us to do. And oftentimes we see others are blessed, and you know we find a greater purpose in our lives than just living on a day-to-day basis. You know, as I was preparing the message, I'm trying to think, you know, in my life, the talents, the gifts that God has given me, trying to think of how I've used those or how that has, you know, developed over time. There was two that kind of stood out that I wanted to share today. You know, obviously, I play music. I have a lot of musical talent. But, you know, one of the things I've done as the years have gone on is write songs. And I never thought that would be something I would do when I took piano. I remember writing a song once and playing it for my teacher. And her response was kind of like, oh, that's interesting, you know, or something like that. Because from her perspective, it was like she was looking at it from a musical, technical standpoint, like going, well, you know, I could see how you could develop this. And, you know, and I'm like, what? I'm just making something up here. You know? And I didn't, and it kind of, not turned me off, but it just didn't, you know, encourage me. So I didn't pursue it. But it was after I got out of college that a friend of mine who had rededicated her life to God, and she started feeling compelled to write some songs, and she came to me and asked me if I'd help her, and I'm like, well, you know, I can try, you know, and we started, and you know, she had chords, and I'd kind of work a melody around it, and then as time went on, we did that song. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun, and she had more, and you know, and I started working on where she didn't even have chords, so now I had to come up with the chords, you know, And we, you know, we developed a whole set of songs, and we had a little group, and we went around and did some concerts. And it was really through that experience. I mean, my faith grew, and my talent grew. I mean, God just I used the gifts he had given me in a way that I hadn't used them before, and I just really saw how they, you know, grew. And, I mean, I remember we were asked to write a song for our church at the time, tied into the message, and I'm like, oh, how are we going to do that? You know, I mean, we were just writing whatever we want before, but, I mean, it was amazing. You know, I used the Bible, and God just brought the words and brought the music, and, you know, I was blessed, and as we shared that, people were encouraged and blessed by it as well. So you could just see that, you know, putting your talents to use for God, how not only does it bless others, but you're blessed in return. Probably more than doubled my return on that one, I feel like. And then the second area that I would say was a little bit more of a challenge for me to see how to use my abilities and took some outside encouragement was in the area of preaching. I don't feel like I'm a natural born preacher. And I remember when Steve first, our pastor, you know, Pastor Murray had first got here. And I don't know, I've been here a couple of years, and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, hey, Phil, I was thinking maybe you should preach someday. And I'm like, preach? I've led Bible studies, but preach in front of people? I can't do that. And I was like, I just really think, you know, he just felt like that was something, an ability in me that he wanted to nurture. I think that was what Steve was good at that. You know, he tried to encourage us to use the gifts we had in service to God. And so, you know, I reluctantly agreed to it. And I remember, you know, preparing. He said, you can pick whatever you want. So that was easy. You know, I didn't have to, again, wasn't forced to preach on Leviticus 12, you know. And, but so I did that, and as I went through that process, you know, I found it interesting, and I found it exciting to, you know, say, okay, I've got this chance to share with people, you know, what God has placed on my heart. And, you know, I survived. It went well. And over time, we had more, you know, as I was an elder, we had opportunities where Steve asked each of us to preach. And, you know, so I've maybe done, I don't know, four or five times. It's not like I've done it a lot, okay? But, you know, each time, based on that previous experience or experiences, it became less of a intimidating, you know, an intimidation. I'm still a little sweaty palms today, but but you know, I just really can see how, you know, in this case, it was. I don't consider myself. I'm not ready to be, you know, take over as pastor, you know, or something like that. But just say how if you use the abilities that God has given you, and maybe in this case, in my case, I felt like it was one talent, okay? You know, it wasn't the five talents. God still can take that, and you give it to him, and he can help grow that. So we need to ask ourselves, are we using the talents that God has given us as he intended? You know, do you play an instrument? Can you teach? Can you clean the church? Can you talk to people? Can you reach out to visitors? You know, you can serve the Lord in these ways and in so many others. I think all this focus I've had on talents over the last couple of weeks as I've been preparing for this has made me more aware of how many people in our church do use their talents. We were here yesterday cleaning the church, and, you know, it was great to see. I'm sitting here seeing people. I'm going, hey, they're using their talents. You know? Like, is that, you know, Larry, Dave, and Scott, as they're working on this wall behind there? I mean, they're using their gifts in a way that's, you know, we can see the benefit of right there. Dave Gibson was here. He was working on stuff, I think, for the service for today, the video stuff up here. Dee was getting the communion ready. Marsha was working on the bulletin. And even little Ralphie, I think he's 2 years old, he was helping us clean. Three. Is he three? Sorry. Okay. he's too cute. And he was helping. I mean, it was like, you know, here's a little kid, you know, working for the Lord. So, I mean, we all have ways we can use those gifts that we have. So each of us should be looking at our talents and our abilities and asking, how can I help in God's service? How can I be a blessing to this church and the people in it? All right, so we're to the third A. First A was abilities, what abilities God has given us. Second A is actions, you know, what are we doing with those? And third is the last A, the accountability. Let's look at, so this is where the example of the third servant comes into play. How does the action or attitude of the third servant, the one that was given one talent, compare to the first two? As it says in verse 18, but the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So how did the servant act? He buried the talent. I mean, that's a lot different than those first two, isn't it? I mean, they got right to work. He's like, I think I'll go bury this talent. And as it points out, you know, he could have even put the money in the bank, right? But he didn't even do that. He just buried it in the ground. And I'm thinking, you know, if this talent is really that much money, I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm assuming it's sort of like a big pile or something like that. I mean, it takes a lot of effort to do that, right? It seems like it would have been just as easy to take it to the bank, put it in the bank, at least say, well, at least, you know, it's safe there and I'll get it back, right? But he doesn't do that. So what was the result of the lack of his lack of effort? He was punished. And it says, thrown out into some place that sounds an awful lot like hell. Right? It seems clear that this servant was not punished because he tried and failed, right? Because he didn't. He didn't do that. He was punished because he didn't even try. Right? And he almost seemed to go out of his way not to try. So, you know, I think that's a clear message to us. God gives us these talents. He wants us to use them. He doesn't want us to just hide them, to bury them. He wants us to, you know, step out in that, in faith and try to use them. Now, you might ask if this example of a third servant is suggesting that unfaithful servants will lose their salvation. I don't believe so, because I don't think in this case, he's talking about a servant, but I don't think he's necessarily talking about someone, you know, if we're trying to take the example of the parable and apply it to our lives. I don't think he's talking about someone who is a true Christian, because if we are truly saved, we're not going to hide our talents and keep them to ourselves. We're going to use them for the Lord. Now, we don't serve in order to be saved because we know we're not saved by our good works, right? But if we have Christ in our lives, that should be demonstrated in the fruits that we have, that we're doing. And that should be evident in the way we act and what we do with the gifts that God has given us. It reminds me of a verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And also in John 14, verses 23 and 24, Jesus there said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. But if we do, we will obey him, and we will use those gifts for his glory. So now contrast the consequence of the unfaithful servant with that of the other two faithful servants. What it says in verse 21 and 23, it says, they receive praise from the master. It doesn't use those words, but they received praise from the master. And I think, as we're trying to look at that and what it means to us, that should be a strong motivation to each of us to know that we'll receive praise from God someday for using the gifts that he's given us for him. They also received, a promotion. The master rewarded them, it said, and put them in charge of more things. And, you know, again, I think as you think, okay, well, in our lives, what is this parable trying to say? You know, God is going to increase our gifts. I already talked about that in my examples, how I felt like God really blessed and grew the gifts that I gave to him. But someday when he returns, he says he's going to give us more. I mean, so, that should be a strong motivation as well. So as I wrap up my discussion on this parable, I'd like you to take a look at a list of talents and abilities. I put something in your, I had them put this in your bulletin today. And so hopefully, and then if you don't have a bulletin, there's more of them that they, I think, have some extra copies in the back. What I did here was try to put together a list, and I found something that I found on the internet and kind of worked from that. So, and it's not intended to be, obviously, a complete list, and because that could probably go on for pages and pages. But if you can just take that and look at that. And so what I've done here, it says, listed below are talents and abilities and a few potential areas of service at our church. I encourage you to prayerfully consider the following list and try to see where your gifts, talents, abilities, training, and experience can fit into the ministry of Sile Community Alliance Church. So there's, you know, I don't know, 30 different things there. My challenge to you is to identify at least one area where you could serve in which you are not currently involved. Then step out in faith, serve others, and serve God. Be a blessing to others and receive the blessings of God. You know, when we have a new pastor coming, well, we don't know exactly when, but, you know, when he does come, sure would be great to have someone come here and find out that, you know, people are I mean, we already have a lot of people, as I said, doing things, but there aren't lots of gaps or lots of jobs that aren't getting done because, well, we tried, but no one's volunteered for that one. You know, but the message today clearly says, use the gifts you have, and you'll be blessed for that. So in conclusion, it's important for us to remember that while our master is away, he has blessed us each with talents. What are you going to do with the abilities you have been given? What are your actions and your attitude going to be like? Are you going to be like the third servant who did not use his talents, who buried it, and was found to be unfaithful when the master returned? Or are you going to be like the first and second servants who were called faithful by the master and received his blessings? Because that sure sounds a lot better than the first example that I just said. Remember, we will all be held accountable one day. Our master will return, and I hope he finds us each being faithful with what he has given us. He's calling us to use our resources, our talents, our gifts that we have to grow his kingdom. If we call ourselves Christians but have no desire to use the gifts that God has given us, then we really need to look at our hearts. If we love Jesus, we will be excited about using what he's given us to make his name greater in this world and to be involved in growing his kingdom. Let us live and work every day in the certainty that Jesus will say one day, just like he said in Matthew 25:21, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for the word you've given us, these stories that, as they say, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and just how much truth and is packed into these stories. And we thank you for the gifts that you've given each one of us. And God, I just pray that you would help us to see those and see how we can use those to bring honor and glory to you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.